Harold Fisher. We're talking tonight about welfare reform some 20 years later. We continue our conversation with Simone Lloyd, a D.C. homeless advocate. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have any experiences with the current public assistance system, give us a call. We'd like to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We lost Stephanie before we took the break. I hope that she has an opportunity to call back, because the thing, Ms. Lloyd, that I wanted to know from her was, what were some of the impediments to success? And from your experience as an advocate, particularly those people who are on public assistance, who are able-bodied, who have the intellectual acumen to work, the ability to work, but as I said, not everyone is able to fit into that one size fits all box. What gets in the way for them?
Okay, for an example, let's look at a mother. Stephanie says she started to have children early and did not want to depend on her parents. Mm-hmm. And so with daycare and feeding the kids in order that, she had to go on welfare. But let's look at a mother who has a child that is not well, a special needs child. And though she may have the education to work and may have the work experience, but now she cannot work because she has to be that medical person at home with her child. Medical assistant would not pay for someone to come into the home. So now she is forced to leave the job she has, be the doctor, mother, and she's a single mother, home with her child. What would that parent do? Now, you're talking about the welfare reform. And at that point, and she has been on welfare for so long, and the child is maybe 16 years old now, but still has this disability. What happens to a mother as such? She cannot go to the welfare to work program because she has to mother, doctor, be everything, child care for her child. Let's look at a mother as such. And the reason why I think that the program and those who are working with this program are not looking at things from different angles. They are looking at people have been on welfare for so long. They should be able to work, put them on a welfare to work program. But you have this woman on the welfare to work program. She can drop her child to daycare. But now the welfare to work program is gone. So that help with all of these situations are gone. What is she supposed to do? What do we do with a mother as such?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Cindy calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Cindy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm actually a case manager, and I just wanted to make a comment in reference to, I think her name is Stephanie, has stated that, you know, her case manager or the people that she worked with, when they do find her employment, they find her employment that's beneath her. And I kind of find that offensive only because not everyone can start at the top. I think, and we all start at a lower level than what we expected to, right? In your position, I'm sure you didn't start off as the position that you're in now. So there is a starting point, and you have to work yourself up, improve yourself, and develop a career and a career path.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something, Cindy, because I there's a lot about this that I don't know and a lot of people do not know. Does public assistance help with daycare?
Do they help with daycare?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they get vouchers.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, they come in, have orientations, and they actually let the case manager know where the daycare facility is, and within the daycare facility, they're given vouchers for child care, so they don't pay anything for child care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they also receive a weekly stipend of $75 for participating, mm-hmm. on top of the standards that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting free child care, they're getting transportation assistance, to only up to $300 a month, plus the standards that they're receiving.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much for daycare now?
No, they get a $75 stipend to help them every day, to help them with every week, to help them with transportation to get back and forth to employment, to volunteering, whatever activity they're involved in, they get $75 a week.
Mm-hmm. Now here's
people got the $300 a month on top of the $10 that they're receiving, plus the free child care.
Now, here's my thing. You're in Woodbridge, and that's Northern Virginia, suffice it to say. The Washington, D.C. is the most expensive city, indeed the most expensive metropolitan area in the United States to live. And so even those people who are gainfully employed and professionals are still struggling to find housing and to make ends meet. And so can you talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges that that the poor have in trying to find adequate housing, food for, for their families and the like? I'm not talking about Whole Foods here. I'm talking about just, just the basics. Because when we look at this issue, I am constantly, amazed at just how people are able to survive, certainly in a city or in a metropolitan area like this, even with that help.
Oh, I agree. It's very difficult. I had a customer today inform me that she just got housing because she was on the waiting list since 2001. And so her name just came up for housing for a 2001 application that she completed.
15 years?
Yes. The waiting list is that long for housing.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so which goes back to my point. I'm not defending this at all. I'm just asking the question because this is a very complex issue. And as a case manager, I'm sure that you are literally on the front lines and struggling to help people who are trying to do better.
Exactly. It's very difficult, especially when you see the same people come back over and over again. They may find employment, but then a couple of months later, they're actually back again. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they couldn't do the work. It's because of what Stephanie said. They thought it was beneath them. Mm-hmm. They stopped showing up for work. It's difficult if you've never worked before or if you've been in a generation of people who never, ever worked. You really don't have a role model. So when you're trying to get up and go to work every day and you see other people around you and in your environment who do nothing, that could be difficult for someone.
Hmm. Well, Cindy,
that's a challenge in itself, in trying to keep someone motivated to continue to go to work every day. You're not going to be in this position all your life. You have to prove yourself and work yourself up.
Hmm. Cindy, thank you so much. Simande, Ms. Lloyd, you said you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, and what Cindy forgot to mention is that for those people who are working, depending on the amount of income you have, you still have to pay a percentage for daycare. Am I correct?
No, that's not correct. They still get this after 6 months of employment, of continuing employment, then your child care ends.
After 6 months.
Yeah.
What?
Exactly.
Wow. So after 6 months, your daycare ends, and so you are required to pay for it yourself.
Correct. Wow.
And this is why we're having a lot of people leaving the job. She did mention that after a few months, people are coming back to the program. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone has not worked and they're just started working, you got a welfare to work program and you got employed. And after 6 months, you have no daycare. You're making less than $20,000. And you know how much daycare is in Washington, D.C., food and everything else that you need. The program is not meant for continuous help. It is meant to put people back into the state of, or bring them to the state of independence. But then when you have all these loopholes that are not working to the favor, how do you expect for these people to succeed when you only give them 6 months of daycare?
Interesting. Cindy, thank you so much for staying with me and sharing your experiences. And I appreciate your phone call as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andre, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I just bumped into this program, Welfare Reform.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But I think it should include the fathers. in these situations with the ladies and the men, the counselors, the people who are trying to assist them, if they got input from the fathers, because you have some fathers who are much better than the mothers, and I say that seriously because I am a person who is better than a mother. But the thing is, you have some who do not want to work. They do not want to go to these programs. They come into your office and they give you this whole routine. The fathers know. You should have a workshop where the fathers can come once a week, twice a week, and give y'all input on really what we've been going through. My situation, for instance, I was put out because I like the house clean. I needed the radio to go off at a certain time. I need the kids to be studying at a certain time. I was put out because I wanted discipline. I wanted cleanliness. I wanted a beautiful atmosphere. 4 years, 5 months, I'm out. The house is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
We would have home visits. Fathers, let the fathers come in and you know, have a workshop and, you know, go back and forth, because money's being wasted on women who don't care. I know there's a bunch of beautiful, struggling women out here, but you have women out here that have conformed to their girlfriends, and they sit around and say, yeah, you can get this girl, you can get this girl, all because of the relationship. Mm-hmm. The man found out she was not a partner. Once we catch on, they try to find a way to get rid of you. They want the assistance. And the women that are really trying, if they keep coming back, you give them things to do and they do it. They give them things to do and they do it. That's how you can weed them out. But the women that won't do it, for instance.
Well, hold on, Andre, because, you know, I hear what you're saying. So you said you were removed. So what is your status now as far as?
My status now, I just took my kids to school to meet the teachers this year.
I mean, you're working or what? I mean,
oh, I'm working. I'm still taking care of my kids. I pay $800 child support.
Mm-hmm.
It never got to the kids, so I still go in my pocket. I keep my receipts. I write it all down. I'm not angry anymore. My kids glow when I come around, and they see mom for what she is.
Mm.
But she promised me years ago, what you think? I'm going to never work. It's been 11 years, 5 months.
Wow.
When she met me, she had a job, she quit it, and never needed a job again.
Okay.
You have those women out here. You can save money when you weed those women out.
Well, suffice it to say, Ms. Lloyd did say that there are people that that abuse the system, and certainly no system is perfect.
Case, and I would like a telephone number where I could talk to someone and teach them how to spot these women.
Mm. Ms. Lloyd, do you want to comment on what he's saying?
And you are right. And there are some people, and the council member said that as well, that people who misuse the system. And unfortunately, you have had the experience you've had. But there are programs like these. It's not only for men. If you are a custodian father, you are eligible for the same. So I just wanted you to correct. I just wanted to correct you to let you know that there are programs for men as well. It's not just for women.
Can I tell you something very quick?
Real quick, because I've got to go to a break.
So important to me. I pay $800 a month. When I take my pay stub to someone, they will not let me have housing. I've been down social service. I've been talked to the head man. I don't have his name right now. But there's no program that will help a father get an apartment.
It's because you make over, I guess, $20,000.
Mm. Right, but the 800, if the 800 didn't come out, I would be qualified for the apartment.
That's true, but they look at the overall.
Yeah, and I've got to take a break. And Andre, thank you for calling in. But he does make a point, and those are the kind of holes that we have. That you know, hopefully, you know, new legislation at least here in the District of Columbia could possibly fix that. Certainly, something that a lot of people could speak to the
it's
D.C.
ridiculous.
Council. Yeah.
Once you make over $20,000, is a fault.
I need to take a break. Andre, thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sherelle in D.C. Please stay with us. I want to hear from you. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Welfare reform 20 years later. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about welfare reform 20 years later. Let me go back to the phone lines. Sherelle calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm calling about the welfare reform. No, it's not working. Now, I live in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people who've been on welfare. The kids are over after 7 or 5. They don't have jobs. Social workers, they pick and choose who they want to help. It's like a buddy system. That even with the, some of the employments, like Department of Human Services, I mean, D.C. Department of Employment Services, their families. Everybody in the, their work there are family members. But my niece has been going to these programs. She doesn't have a job. The only reason why she has a place to stay is because of the fact that her rent goes to according to your income, which means if you have no income, then you get free rent. That's who, so if she didn't have that, then she would be living on the streets or with one of us. Right now she gets like $400 worth of food stamps. She gets no TANF because of her her children have aged out. She wants to work, but how can she go to work? Now, Virginia, like that lady say, yeah, they might offer all of that for them. D.C. has cut the Department of Rec was the biggest daycare system for working, I mean, welfare, people who were on public assistance. They helped them. Once they cut that out, and I'm sorry to say this, is because you got a lot of white people in D.C. now that they cut the Department of Rec out. So now these parents, we're going to these stipends, getting these stipends to some daycares that are so overwhelmed that these kids can't get in daycare. So these parents don't have, if you don't have daycare, you don't have a job.
Let me ask you something,
so
Sherelle.
D.C. is not working.
Now, you said this is your niece?
Yes.
How old is she?
My niece is, how old is Vinetta? 35.
Why do you suspect that she can't find work, particularly if you say her children are now aged out?
Right now she goes to a working program down on the big chair on Martin Luther King Avenue. She's been in every class that there has been in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, oh, you have to come in here. You have to take these classes. You have to do this. You have to do that. She does that. But when she goes for the interviews, there are no jobs. Even the job places tell them, oh, we don't have any positions.
Hmm.
So, they might get them down there to give them a little stipend, and then once you complete that program, you got another program to complete. But half the people in the Department of Human Services are welfare to work women. And once they've gotten their little job, it's like, okay, I'm not helping you because I moved ahead.
So what do
but
you think?
Know, it's no soul to see.
Well, what do you think is a solution? Because, you know, obviously, even the council member, Brianna Doe, admitted that her idea is a stopgap. It's a Band-Aid. It's not a full fix.
I think what they do need to do is, first of all, they need to go through the systems, the federal government, the district government. They need to go through there and see how much they're doing, what they're doing, because you got some of them that don't even answer the phone. So get rid of them. Put these people in good programs, some good quality programs that are going to teach them how to work, going to teach them how to talk, going to teach them how to dress for success. Because all of them programs, yeah, they're getting these clothes, but they're not helping these people. Half of them go through the system to get the employees go through and weed out the better clothes. Now, like I say, if you want these people to go get a decent job, law firms hire all the time, but they don't have the experience. So teach them where to go at. Put them in classes for that's going to teach, not McDonald's. Come on, McDonald's is, if you don't speak Spanish, you're not even getting a McDonald's, man.
Yeah. Well, Sherelle, thank you so much. I appreciate your passion and your phone call and what you've shared with us. And certainly we wish your niece, you know, all the best as she, you know, struggles to pull herself up from where she was. So, again, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, she makes a, you know, an interesting point. When she spoke about, in a lot of cases, people who are on public assistance may come from circumstances that do not offer them the full holistic wraparound of, as she said, how to dress, how to talk,
life
how to present yourselves. Exactly. Life skills. And we're not just talking about one or two people or 10 or 20. We're talking about thousands of people. Do we just not have enough jobs even for those who are prepared?
That's true. Now, we have to realize that lack of job is not only geared toward those who are on welfare, you know, reform. There are people who has 2-3 master's degree, doctorate degree, and out there looking for a job. So it's not because you are on welfare, but it's because right now there are lack of jobs. But with the welfare reform program, like she was talking about, companies are paid where they send people over to their companies to get trained. And there are some people who don't want to take welfare to work recipients. And sometimes the welfare recipients don't make it better for others, when they're coming in with those attitudes because they have not had the life skills. I believe that before you send these women out there to those jobs.
And men,
or anyone for that matter, let them have a life skills program, work readiness program, work preparedness. Most of the time they say, well, we have to do a job readiness. No, you have to do preparedness before you get them ready. So prepare them for the job and then they can get on the job. So we're doing the dress for success, but they don't know how to act when they get to work. They don't know that they have to prepare whom before getting to work. So that is who's going to pick Shanae up from the from the daycare. Okay, I need to leave from here at 6 o'clock, but the daycare opens at 7. All of those preparedness need to happen before. Those things are not taught. So you gave them the job and then they cannot keep the job because life skills have not been put in place.
I think
life skills first.
One of the things that we have seen, and I don't think that the 1996 legislation was prepared for, was the Great Recession. Because from the time of the Great Recession, where you had, as you mentioned, multi-degree professionals who bought homes and who lost them during the mortgage crisis, we saw, on our newscast, we've covered middle class families who were forced because of the recession and because of the mortgage crisis to accept not only public assistance, but they were also becoming charity cases, which we saw overloaded churches. They overloaded other social welfare organizations, and nonprofits were really overwhelmed. And even as the economy tries to trickle back some 8 years after the Great Recession, we are still seeing difficulty. And I'm afraid that with changes, let's just take D.C., for example, the changes here in D.C. with the cost of living, the cost of housing, the cost of food and child care, and the changes and the political changes that are even and social changes that are happening in the District of Columbia, that things could get worse before they get better.
I think everyone needs to join in with the council member from Ward 1. Do a study. If this does not happen, If we do not put in a plan that is well studied, that is well exercised, there's going to be a serious problem in D.C.
But the other issue is affordability.
Exactly.
And even though the District of Columbia it is a financially stable city, when you're having concerns or considerations of making changes, extending, as we've heard, we had the lady who said that one of her cases, a lady was finally found housing after 15 years. I mean, that's we're not talking about 60 months here.
No,
it's
over 5 years. On
yeah,
the
yeah, 5 years. No, that's 15. That's three times. Three times the, that envelope.
And who's to say how many places those children lived?
But also, we're not talking just about situations like that. We're also, talking about, I guess, the changes that could come about in reference to, loss of monies for food, loss of monies for EBT cards and the like. I think that there needs, outside of the study, there needs to be a broader plan, and also figure out how to pay for something like this, because if not, we are going to see a broadening of this haves and have-nots. And dare I say, former mayor and former council member Marion Barry warned of this years before his death.
Yes. even when this bill was passed, he talked about it. But also, let's look at child welfare and child protective services issue. When these parents cannot take care of their children because they're no longer receiving the assistance from welfare, they cannot feed their children, they would now drop the children to this person and drop the year. We don't know. That might also cause a lot of kids to be taken away from homes into foster homes and into child protective services. All of those things need to be looked at.
So
and
what,
I think it takes it, different agencies need to come together and, you know, put a plan. There has to be a feasibility study. But this plan was put in place by probably rich folks who did not look at the loopholes of everything. And now it is the time for it to really, you know, bloom. And people are now getting scared.
Well, suffice it to say that even the Clinton administration back in 1996, this was the first reform of public assistance since the New Deal during, you know, during the Roosevelt administration. And so certainly it was not a perfect thing and still is not. And it looks like it's going to require much, much more work, including.
But there's room for improvement.
Yeah. And change.
Yes.
And certainly we will continue to watch that as this issue comes up this fall and those changes as they come in October in 2017.
But I think this is now for people to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we hope that they do. Simone Lloyd, thank you so much. It's always good to see you. We also want to thank Ward 1 D.C. Councilmember Brianne Nadeau for sharing with us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University